This content contains references to pregnancy loss, which some listeners may find distressing.
Welcome to Shayna's Soapbox. We're going to spend a short time delving into a topic, be it tech, business, money, or passion, and give you actions that you can take to improve your project or your life. In 2022, I had the pleasure of attending the INSA, which is the Intelligence and National Security Alliance event called The New IC, Empowering Women and Engaging Men. And it was an event focused on empowering and retaining women within the intelligence community. There, the Honorable Sue Gordon, who is a former Principal Deputy Director of National Intelligence, gave a talk. And her talk was focused on decisions that she had made in the past and the choices she made. And this topic and this way of looking at your life like really stuck with me. I hadn't really thought of things that way, but what were major points in my life where I had to make a very clear decision? And what did that look like? For me, one of the ones that she made that I thought was so interesting was she quit work. She quit work to focus on her family and actually had no intention of going back to work. Her kids were, I think, about almost in high school, and she decided to stop working and focus on her children. I don't know, for me, I'm always scared about quitting working, about the ability to return to work, about the ability to care for myself. So I thought that was a very interesting story and very interesting as a woman with children who is trying to grow professionally. I think we are always looking at what kind of life do we really want. I'm going to share with you today some major decisions I've made, why I was at those crossroads, and what the outcome was after that. So one of the first major decisions I ever made, outside of deciding I was going to major in computer science, that didn't really seem like a major decision. It just kind of felt inevitable and something I was going to do. But my computer science program was in the engineering school, and it was at a school where the engineering program was known to aggressively try to fail people out of the program. And so there I was, someone who did very well in high school. I wasn't valedictorian by any means, but I was, you know, I did pretty well in high school, and I had no fear. I loved math, I loved chemistry, and I went to college so excited to major in computer science. I knew I was behind other people at the time. This was before really the internet was publicly available to most people. The main way you used internet was via bulletin boards and email if you were lucky enough to even have a computer. And so I was behind other students' understanding of computers, computer science. I didn't even own a computer of my own until my junior year. And I felt pretty defeated and low. And I was used to getting A's and I was getting B's. And honestly, I got a C in chemistry, which I still can't even believe I got a C. I got an A in high school AP chemistry. Loved AP chemistry so much in high school. So it was just very humbling to work so hard, to feel behind, but to believe that this is what I wanted to do. And so one day I went to my professor and I said I was going to switch to another major within the engineering school. And I started crying. And he just thought that was kind of crazy. I've never had someone tell me that they were going to switch majors and start crying. Typically, people, when they decide that they're going to be switch majors, are thrilled that they've recognized that this is not for them. But I really wanted to switch majors just because I thought this other major was easier and that it would be less of a challenge for me, that I would just get those straight A's. I wouldn't have to learn. I wouldn't feel behind others who already had so much coding understanding and computer science understanding. Instead, he made me call my parents first. he was worried and said, like, let's call your parents. I ended up sticking with computer science. I got B's. I got like one or two A's, but in the major, I got B's. I stuck with it and I did well. I didn't do amazing, but I did well. But here's the thing. I really loved it and no one told me I had to do that. And I just really wanted to study computer science. So I'm very grateful for that professor to pause and say, I don't think that this is really the choice that you want. I think you're feeling low. And I think majoring in computer science was one of the best decisions I've ever made. I am so grateful that I did the work, that I put the time in, that I went and got help when I needed to get help, and that I had the belief in myself to just keep going because, I don't know, I love computers. I just think it's really cool. And I'm very interested in computers and coding and building computer systems. And I think majoring in computer science was one of the best choices that I've ever made. So that's number one, was the decision was not to leave the major, but to stick with it. The second major decision I made was in getting my master's degree and in what I got my master's degree in. I had this vision of myself after college of getting an MBA from a top MBA program. I was obsessed with this idea of going to Penn or MIT or Berkeley or Stanford or Harvard and getting in and getting an MBA from a top program. I had looked at the criteria. I started a volunteer program. I did everything I could do to show leadership at work and outside of work and to be the strongest candidate I could. And I studied for the GMATs. As it got closer to applying for my master's and going through the MBA program, I guess this is going to be a theme here, but I burst into tears and I just, two things. One, the amount of money and debt I would have had to take to get my master's was horrifying to me. I already graduated with $20,000 in student loans, which is probably like nothing today. And fortunately, I was able to afford paying my loans and paying for my life. But the idea of increasing that, of the master's degree programs were going to be more expensive, and I was going to have an extreme amount of debt. I also really liked my life where I was. I liked what I was doing, and I was happy where I was, and I didn't have this big desire to up and move somewhere else. And then most importantly, when I looked at the jobs and the outcomes that most MBA students had, especially those with a lot of loans, I didn't want to do that work. I wasn't particularly interested in moving into finance, into going into Wall Street. I wasn't really interested in moving into private equity or consulting. I really wanted to stay in building computer systems and for companies whose core specialty was building computer systems. I just knew that that's really what I wanted to do. And when I looked at people who were successful in the field, most of them had started moving to getting a master's in engineering. And so there I was. I did an interview with a top MBA program, and I think it went well. And I decided to not get my master's in business. I decided instead to go to school at night and get my master's in systems engineering of computer-based systems. I think the only thing I regret is I always wanted the prestige of saying, oh, I have an MBA from MIT or an MBA from Stanford, you know, if I got into those programs. So I don't have the pleasure of saying that, but I am pursuing the life and the career that I want. And I really love continuing to work on computer systems. And I just always had this gut feeling that I would hate a consulting job or a finance job. So I believe that was a good choice to continue with my master's of systems engineering instead of an MBA. I don't regret that decision. And at the time, I was very shocked to find myself not wanting to complete something that I had set out as a goal for myself. I was just so sure that I was going to get an MBA. And then as I got close to finishing it and putting the applications in, I couldn't do it. Another major time in my life came when I was about 31. My mother died suddenly, and my first husband asked for a divorce. And so at this point, I was living in Northern Virginia, and I was living there, and it was his family who lived there. My family did not live in Northern Virginia. My family was still in Pittsburgh, and my sister was in Atlanta. And we could sell the house, so we had a house together. And I also felt a little bit at the time maybe I became an engineer because my mother wanted me to become an engineer, that she just thought it was so cool that I was an engineer. And I just thought, wow, if I could wipe the slate clean, is this what I want with my life? I don't have to stay in Northern Virginia. Nothing is keeping me in Northern Virginia. And I also don't even have to stay with computer science or being an engineer. I could completely change. It was just kind of this moment of like, there I was, heavily encumbered, marching towards this goal of being married and having a house. And I loved Northern Virginia and I loved computer science, but now I wasn't stuck in it. I had really enmeshed myself in it. So I had this question of, what do you really want with your life? Do you want to move? Do you want to move? At the time, I actually worked for an amazing company who had really their headquarters in El Segundo, California, and it was gorgeous out there, and they would have had me move there, and I love California. But in this time, I decided, one, not to make a huge decision at the time and just stick with what I wanted to see if that's what I really wanted. And it was. I actually loved Northern Virginia, even though all of my friends at the time were his friends, or most of my friends were his friends. And so I had to build a new friendship network. And I loved what I did for a living. But it just gave me such pause, because with both things happening, I felt if this was my chance to change, to bust up my life and to do something completely different, it was now. Because no one was keeping me there. No one had an expectation. I was no longer expected to bring in X amount of money. I didn't have to keep the house. I didn't have to stay living there. I could go do what I wanted. But I listened to my gut and stuck with what was making me happy. And I built a whole new set of friends. Number four is really personal. I was lucky enough to meet my husband, Brian. My gut was just like, oh, absolutely, you should marry this man. And at the time, I wasn't sure we could have kids. And he was like, all right, that's fine. You know, we'll be married with kids or we'll be married without kids. And then we were blessed enough for me to get pregnant a month after the honeymoon. So I met Brian and we got married quickly. And then we had our son, William, in under a year. And the pregnancy was easy and smooth. So there I am, married with my son, William, and I am obsessed with this idea of starting the business, and I don't let it go. And we start the business, Nyla, when my son was only 1 year old. And then I get pregnant again, and I'm thrilled. And I lose the baby after 8 weeks. I felt like something was wrong and I went in and the heartbeat had stopped. And then we let my body heal and we tried for another baby. This baby had trisomy, which unfortunately meant the baby was going very likely to either die within me or die soon after birth. So it was absolutely devastating. And unfortunately, the baby passed at 16 weeks. And so there I was, I looked very pregnant, and this was the second baby I lost. And I have my son who I love, who's healthy and growing. I have the business underway. I have a lot going on. And I didn't want to try again. I was really nervous. I thought, on one hand, I really wanted a second baby. And then on the other hand, I was terrified to go through something that horrible again. So I paused and I let my body heal. And then we tried again, and we were fortunate to get pregnant with my daughter, Rose. And everything was fine throughout the pregnancy, except for my mental state. I was a wreck because I had been through those losses, and I was so scared of the outcome and what could potentially happen. And when she was finally born, I was so relieved. She was fine. 10 fingers, 10 toes, everything was healthy. And this huge weight had been lifted off my shoulder. And now I get to experience this amazing, feisty, funny, intense little girl. And the love that she has for her brother and he has for her and her effect on the family. And so I'm really, really grateful that my sisters kind of pushed me and said, I think you should try. I think it's worth it to try again. And I was really, you know, to be honest, I was really mad at the time because I'm like, well, what if I can't have another? Like, I don't want that pressure from you. But if you don't try, then you won't know. And sometimes giving up is the right answer. But for me, we were fortunate to try again and to have it work out. And it was a really hard period in my life because not only was I affected physically and that I looked pregnant and I was uncomfortable from having those two prior losses, but I was mentally exhausted and scared since so much of the pregnancy is completely on the mother and on every single thing that she does. It's pretty intense. And so my daughter, Rose, was born a week before my 40th birthday. And she is one of the greatest blessings of my entire life. And I am so grateful that I decided to try again, even when it was hard. The fifth decision that I made was to not sell my business, but instead to keep going. So about a year ago, I was facing major burnout. I wanted my business to go fast and grow up and be big and important. And I always was never measuring up to my own expectations. I was incredibly hard on myself and wasn't satisfied with all that I had achieved. I was working for many years, extremely long days. And it's incredibly stressful because as try as you might, stuff is always happening. Crap that you have to take care of as the owner of the business. I don't get to put it down. It's my business. It's my house on the line. It's my cars on the line. It's all of the work and money that I've ever earned on the line. And I don't have a choice to not pay attention to what's going on. And I was really burnt out. And I had two different friends who we had scheduled dinners for. And I thought I was going there to celebrate them, and each of them in their own way suggested that I should sell my business, that maybe it was time. And they were saying, sell the business to them and their corporate entity. So I wasn't expecting that. And though I felt very low and tired, my gut reaction was no, I don't want to sell. I don't think it's in my best interest to sell. And my gut said, rest, don't quit. And for me, resting was giving myself space to work out, space to go to sleep on time, space to take on less, and to maybe come to terms with maybe we wouldn't grow as fast, and to just relax, stop having this intense grip every day, but to not sell. They also were like, well, what do you really want with your life? And why do you keep growing a business? And maybe it's better for you to sell. And I had to really think about that. I did really think about that. What did I want with my life? And what was really important to me? And why was it important for me to keep growing this company? And my gut just kept saying, you just really want to keep growing this business. You're not done yet. And selling meant finishing to me. Whether that's true or not, that's how I took it. And so I said no to both. I looked at it and I decided to keep going. And actually, we had our best year ever last year because I did the work to relax, to let others help more. And I focused on my own health and how I could keep up this marathon at a fast pace, but not sprinting every day so that I have to stop and quit. I'm really glad a year later, having gone through this, I'm really glad. So those are my five decisions. And I think the key takeaway from all of these is there's going to be major challenges and it's going to be hard. And just because it's hard doesn't mean you should quit or you don't belong. It just means you have to keep growing and getting through the obstacles. The other major takeaway is listen to your gut. I think at some of these decisions, you might want to do what's different from the norm, if there is actually a normal out there, or what you think is normal. And you have to do what is right for you. You only get one life and you get to live it exactly as you can. And no one can tell you what is best for you. So you can ask questions and you can discuss it, but you have to listen to what is best for you. And when you make the choice that is best for you, you feel settled. It doesn't mean that the challenge goes away, but emotionally you feel settled because you made the choice that is right for you. So I hope you enjoyed this review of my five major life decisions that I made in my life and what the outcome was. And then I hope you get to enjoy my podcast with the Honorable Sue Gordon, where she talks about the decisions she's made and decision-making in general. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is sponsored by Nyla Technology Solutions, an SBA-certified 8A HubZone woman-owned small business specializing in full-stack software engineering and data science services to the U.S. government. Our innovative solutions are built to match the speed of mission. For more information, partnering opportunities, and new job openings, please visit our website, www.nyla.io.